and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." Verse number 6, "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'Oh, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." It's not my sermon today, but the imagery cannot be lost on us. The typology that is here of the serpent, the fiery serpents bit the people, and the people, much people, doesn't tell us a number, but much people died, and the people repented, and they asked Moses, "Pray to the Lord that he takes away the serpents," but the Lord didn't take away the serpents. Serpents were still there. He just made a remedy for the serpents. He told Moses, make a serpent, put it on the pole, and if any man is bitten, they're still going to be bitten, because the serpents represent sin, and sin was not eradicated, sin was overcome on the cross. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin and was nailed to a cross. And anyone who will bow at Jesus' feet, bow at the cross and repent of their sins, though they've been bitten by sin, will not die of their sins. Sin is still there, and sin doth abound, but grace doth much more abound. And so the answer to the problem wasn't that the sin be removed or the serpents be removed. The answer to the problem was sin be overcome. Thank God that every one of us today can look to the Lord, and when we repent of our sins, he forgives us of our sins. Amen. That's a free sermon right there. It didn't cost you a dime, and it has nothing to do with what I'm going to preach to you about today. But take that with you today. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit that we feel in this place. I ask you, Lord, that you would anoint me mightily as I bring the word of God that you have given me to your wonderful, sweet people today. Help us, Lord, to receive it and to be encouraged and changed by it. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. And you may be seated in the name of the Lord. The Bible says that the soul of the people was much discouraged. The soul of the people was much discouraged. I want that to sink in for just a moment. The soul of the people. This was not a mental depression. More than that. More than a gloomy day. More than a Monday down in the dumps. This was in their soul. It was down deep inside of them. And the Bible is careful to distinguish that they were much discouraged. Everybody say much discouraged. Not a little down, not a slump, but they were much discouraged. But that's not even my main point today. My main focus is not that they were discouraged or even how discouraged they may have been, but my focus is simply why. Why they are discouraged. They were discouraged, the Bible says, because of the way. Say that, because of the way. Have you ever been discouraged because of the way? It's an interesting thought, because it's one thing to be discouraged and be able to identify a particular event or a certain person that is to blame. And we can, in those times, readily make sense of discouragement. And we know in our heart that as soon as we work through this, I won't always be discouraged as soon as I work through this. Just pray for me and I'll get through the losing of my job dilemma, and I'll be back up again. I know why I'm down, because I got the pink slip. Just pray for me. I'll be back up. Let me get through this funeral. Let me work through this spousal betrayal, and let me work through this divorce, or let me get healed from this sickness, or let me recover from this surgery. As soon as I get through this cancer treatment, as soon as I get better and back on my feet, I'll be okay. I know I'm down, but I know why I'm down. It may not be easy in those times, but at least in those times, we can see the cause and effect, and we know why we feel the way we feel. It makes sense. And because we do, we can deduce that as soon as I get through the valley. But there is another kind of discouragement. It's a discouragement that isn't anyone's fault and no one particular tragedy or disaster or infliction. In fact, if someone asked you to articulate the why of your discouragement in these times, you would not be able to put your finger on it. You would be hard-pressed to explain why, because this kind of dejection, it sneaks up on you. It's a slow drain. In fact, I will tell you that the most dangerous discouragement is not the one that you can explain. It's the one that you cannot. It's one thing to be broken by the sledgehammer. The feeling makes sense when you've been slammed by the sledgehammer of life, of catastrophe, of betrayal. When it comes slamming on you and you're broken in huge pieces, that's one thing. But it's another thing altogether to suffer the small, almost unnoticeable chisel of life. The sledgehammer is one thing, it hurts, but you can identify it. The chisel is another thing altogether. The chisel, just life, just life, just the way. And though it may be a slow destruction, it is just as real and just as devastating as the sledgehammer. Make no mistake, that's what a good counselor will do, by the way. A good counselor, they will walk you through what brought you here. The small chiselings of life. I've seen people in counseling panicking and having all kinds of disorders, depressed and spent and worn out and don't even know why. Ask them why, they don't know why. That's why I'm here. I'm hoping you can help me, they would say. And then when we start walking through the past year, let's just go talk about this past year. What's happened in your life? And things that have happened, they'll begin to talk about, well, this happened and this stressed me out and this, but you know, and it's always the same story. But I've already gotten that. I've already made sense of that. I've already got that in its place. I've already handled that. I'm okay. No, that's not bothering me. And so it's not one huge event. It's just the small chisel of life. This kind of chiseled away at you, and this broke some things loose, and this took a little out of you, and this drained you, and without even knowing it, you can become depleted with this slow drain, this slow deterioration of the chisel. Everybody say the chisel. I'm asking you if you've ever been discouraged because of the way. See, it's possible. Life just happens, doesn't it? Life just happens. And it's not always that some event brought it. Jesus, why is this man blind? Who sinned? Did somebody sin? And Jesus said, nobody sinned. This just happened. It happened for the glory of God. But you can't always point to the cause. You can't always say, this is what happened. It's not always the case. In fact, you can be very careful and take good care of your body, and you can still have cancer pronounced over your life. You can still end up in the ER at midnight and the doctor telling you you've had a heart attack. You can still have them say, we have to amputate your leg. You didn't do anything wrong. Life just happens. And you would drive yourself crazy trying to pinpoint why. What have I done? What happened? What could I have done differently? And it may just be that it's just the way. It's the way. It is possible to maintain your car, change the oil every 3,000 miles and rotate your tires and check the oil and check all these things that they tell you to do, and still your car might break down at the most inopportune time. You might be the model employee in your job and still you get laid off or you get fired. You can raise your kids in the church and teach them to pray and read scripture to them every day. And still, when they turn 18, they might say, I'm out of here. I want nothing to do with the Lord anymore. And you will drive yourself crazy trying to figure out why your boss didn't like you and why you bought a lemon car and why has everything happened to me and why did I have to get sick and why don't my kids serve the Lord? Everybody else's kids seem like you will drive yourself crazy, and there are some things that they just drain you, and it's not anything that you've done. It's just because of the way. Daily grind. The walk, it's the curves and the climbs and the valleys and the potholes. It's all part of the way. It's bills and doctors and funerals. The way. Have you ever been discouraged because of the way? They were discouraged. Impatient is the real word. But discouragement was in their souls because of the way. And this is important. They didn't speak against the way. Watch this. I read it for you. They did not speak against the way. Because when you lash out, you want a face, don't you? You want a face. You want a person. You want a personality. When you begin to talk about things and complain about things and gripe about things, you don't want to gripe about things. You want to gripe about somebody must be held responsible for this. And they lash out at God and they lash out at Moses. I can tell you, having been a pastor now for over 20 years, it's lonely. It's lonely at the top sometimes. It's lonely when you're the one in charge. It's lonely when complaints always go up. They do, like smoke, they go up. Because, you know, if the lot doesn't get plowed at the church and it snowed and you can't get in, or you get stuck and you get hung up, trust me, if you show up this winter and you get stuck and you have to leave your car at church because the lot didn't get plowed, whose fault is that? At some point you're going to arrive at, well, why didn't Brother Hawkins... You don't know that I was up all night praying with somebody in their deathbed. You don't know. You don't know all the particulars. I'm not whining to you. I'm not complaining to you. Pastoring is the best thing I've ever done, short of being a husband and a father. It's the best thing, best vocation I've ever had. But I am saying to you that it's lonely at the top, because all the complaints are going to rise to the top. If something's not going right in the church, it's always going to come to some point. Some of you this week said something, and it ended up being a conversation about the pastor. Well, we got to wear a mask. Well, they don't do enough. Well, they do too much. And it's always going to come back to boom. We're discouraged because of the way, but we're going to gripe about God and Moses. We're going to complain about the one who showed up when we were in slavery and we were in chains and bondage. And he went before the Pharaoh 10 times and commanded our release. The one who spoke to God and brought us out and led us out of Egypt. And the very God who parted the Red Sea and allowed us to escape on dry ground. Now that we are, I don't know why we're discouraged. We just feel discouraged. We feel depleted. We feel dejected. We feel empty. We feel spent. And I don't know why, but why don't we just talk about God for a while? And why don't we just talk about Moses for a while and ask the question, why did you even bring us here? This okay? I'm just backing up because I'm going to start spitting just a little bit, all right? And I want you to not be nervous. Blame wants a name. Disgruntlement seeks a face. So they lash out at God and they lash out at Moses. And as I studied this, the Lord showed me chapter 20. I know I read for you chapter 21, but the Lord showed me chapter 20. In verse number 1 of chapter 20, the Bible tells us that Miriam died. Miriam. Moses' older sister. Moses' sister who took the bulrush, the ark, and put him down in the water and let him go. Moses' sister Miriam, when Moses was just a baby, who released him into the river and followed alongside hidden, watching to see what become of her baby brother, watched as the Pharaoh's daughter fished him out of the river, and watched as that woman fell in love with that baby and came up to her, used of God, even as Moses was a baby, used of God to come to the Pharaoh's daughter and say, shall I fetch a Hebrew maiden, or shall I fetch a Hebrew mother to nurse the child? God used her even in Moses' three-month-old life. God used her, and now she's there. All through Moses' first 40 years, she's his older sister. He's her baby brother. Moses disappears for 40 years, and at 80 now, they've got their brother back, and Miriam is excited to be part of what God is doing. Watch her, because God uses her even in the deliverance of his people out of Egypt, even crossing the Red Sea, even the celebratory dances that took place. They were all from Miriam's leadership, and God uses her as a prophetess. She speaks from God too. She hears from God too. She is one of Moses' most trusted assistants. And in chapter 20, verse 1, he buries his sister. That's in verse 1. In verse 12, Moses and Aaron learn from God that they're not going to make it into the promised land. Moses, in anger, smote the rock when he was told to speak to the rock. Smote it twice and disrupted an imagery that God would have had. And he tells Moses, because of your disobedience, because of your little temper tantrum, you don't get to go into the promised land. And Aaron won't go into the promised land. They find that out in verse number 12. And then in verse 25, the Lord is telling him to take Aaron and Eleazar, Aaron's son, and bring them up into the Mount Hor and strip Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar. You're going to strip your brother of his priestly position. It's being ripped away from him, and you'll put it upon his son. And at the end of the chapter, he buries his brother. In one chapter, he buries his sister. He loses the promise of the promised land, and he buries his brother. And if anybody had a right to be discouraged in chapter 21, it was Moses. But God showed me that everything that Moses went through, the people went through too. They lost Aaron too. They realized that their leader had failed too. They realized that Aaron was dead. There were changes. There were shifts. They were frightened. They were uncertain. All of these happen along the way. You must understand that these things happen as the people are journeying. They are locked into a 40-year journey through a wilderness area, waiting on everybody over 20 years old to die. Can you imagine? All you're doing is walking and waiting, walking and waiting, walking and waiting. For 40 years, God would let them journey in that wilderness, waiting on people just to die off. I'm talking about being discouraged because of the way. We all live it. We all walk it. We're all born into this thing called life, and we walk this way, and we all go through things. I mean, you're not going through this pandemic alone. We're all going through it. I know you deal with your bubble, you deal with your situations, and I understand that. Some of you have situations in your family and in your home, and you have to deal with that, and you have to weigh that all out, and you have to navigate through this troublesome time based on your unique situations. I get that, but please don't forget that we're all going through this thing together, this thing called life, this pandemic that's all over the globe. We're all locked in this boat together. We're all dealing with things. We're all in the way. We're all walking the same way. And some of us, we just get discouraged every once in a while, not because of what you've done, not because of something somebody else has done. It's just part of the way. It's just part of the way. It's the chisel. It's the slow drain. You bury your sister and you move on. The people are griping because there's no water, so God tells you to speak to the rock. So you get frustrated. In a moment of frustration, you smite something you should have spoken to, and you lose the promise. Chisel. The chisel. chisel, the chisel. You go to work and you find out something changing you. The chisel of life. It causes stress. Your kids call you with some bad news. It's the chisel of life. You put the key in, you turn it, it doesn't, nothing happens. Not a big deal. It's going to be okay, but it chisels away at you. It draws that energy from you. Your adrenaline rises and falls and rises and falls, and before you know it, you don't even know why. You can be so discouraged and not even understand why. They need a move of God. They need a move of God, and they complain. And God sends serpents. Now, I've already given you the typology of the serpent. I did that on purpose because I want to deal with another thought about the serpents. What if the serpents were not just punitive, but revelatory? Stay with me. What if God was not only punishing, but maybe he was teaching? Maybe God was teaching them by them getting bitten and dying and praying and repenting and God sending the remedy. Maybe God was teaching them, you know, along the way, I won't always take all the problems away, but my grace is sufficient. My grace is enough. Here, Moses, I want you to make a serpent. Music, would you come? I want you to make a serpent. And I want you to make the very image of the very thing that is biting the people and causing them to die. What the serpents did, stay with me, watch this. What the serpents did was simply accelerate what was already taking place in their souls. Discouragement destroys. Discouragement kills. Discouragement kills. Are you still with me? Listen to this. All the serpents did, Brother Bunch, was accelerate what the discouragement was doing. The discouragement was a slow death. The serpents was a speedy death. And the Lord sped it up to teach them a lesson very quickly. Along the way, there will be things that will try to take you out. There will be things that will try to drain you out. There will be things that try to bleed you out. It'll be a slow drain, but the same remedy of the serpents biting you, which is to look at the cross, is the same remedy of the chisel of life, which is to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. I simply came to this pulpit today. I didn't come to tell you about discouragement. I came to tell you about the encourager. I didn't come to tell you how hard life is. I came to tell you that no matter how hard it may get, Jesus Christ is still the answer. And if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus, you can make it through every trial. You can make it through every problem. You can make it through every sickness. You can make it through every pandemic. Come on, I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is still the way. Jesus Christ is still the answer. And if you'll keep your eyes on him, I wish you'd take just about 30 seconds and give the Lord some praise right now. Would you redirect your focus from all the problems and all the issues and all the drains of life and all the stresses of life? Come on, could we put our attention and our focus on Jesus Christ? He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the problem solver. He's the way maker. He's the healer of our body. He is our financial answer. He can fix every problem. He can break every chain. Hila boboro to shaya la hatakaya. Hilo momononde hilo boboro to shaya. Oh, and what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Who saved me by his grace. wish we would sing this verse together. There is coming.
There is coming a day.
Second verse one more time. There'll be no sorrow there.
No more burdens to bear.
No sickness.
No more sickness. No more pain.
Come on, no more, no more, no more. Just lift your hands to heaven and let me pray over you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray for your people today, God. God, there are those today, Lord, that are just dealing with the slow drain of life. There are those today, Lord, that are weary in their spirits. God, I pray today, Lord, for every single soul that is discouraged in their soul, much discouraged because of the way. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that in a fresh new way, you would reveal yourself to them. I pray, God, that they would refocus today, Lord. Their eyes would be opened and redirected, Lord, to you. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, you said in your word, you'd never leave us nor forsake us, but you'd be with us to the very end of the world. God, you said, Lord, that didn't matter how hard the way may get, that you know the way that we take. Lord, in the name of Jesus, as we travel through this life, God, I pray, Lord, that you would keep your hand upon us. I pray a hedge of protection around your church and around your people. God, I pray a fresh new strength in their spirits and in their souls. God, I pray a fresh step and a bounce in their step, Lord. God, I pray against every trial, every dilemma, every sickness, every pain that would try to weary your people. I pray strength. I speak life. I speak power. I speak fresh anointing into the lives of your people. I take authority over every demonic force that comes against your people. I take authority over it in the name of Jesus. I speak victory today. God, I speak deliverance today. God, I speak healing today into the lives of these people. And we claim it, and we receive it, and we believe it in the name of Jesus Christ. Clap your hands to the Lord mightily. Come on, mightily, 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 mightily to the Lord. Come on, that's it. Break every chain right now. Every chain that's been trying to drag you down. Every problem that's been trying to snuff you out. We take authority over it in the name of Jesus. Everybody shout, Jesus! Come on, shout it, Jesus! You have all power. You are our healer. You are our deliverer. And we give you praise today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, wow. I almost said it's going to be all right, but I don't even feel that. I feel like telling you we're coming out of this with a high hand. We're not just going to be okay. We're going to be better off. Come on, somebody. You're going to be better than you were. Hallelujah. Our president keeps talking about this super V, you know what I'm talking about, in the economy. He told us whenever we went into this thing, he said, don't worry, we're going to have a V curve, recovery. And this is not political, by the way. This is simply financial. And sure enough, right now, we're seeing the economy. It's a V curve, bam. People's 401ks, all those things are almost back to where they were. This is a miraculous recovery. And so I didn't bring that up to talk about the president or the economy, but I feel like the Lord is showing me that even in the spiritual realm, the church has had this little dip, but we're having a V curve. He's calling it a super V. We're coming back stronger than we were. We're coming back better than we were. Devil, you tried to wipe the church out, but you can't wipe out a God thing. You can't wipe out a God thing. You can't wipe out what God has breathed into. We're coming back stronger. We're coming back more powerful. You thought you had a problem before. Wait till you see this church. Pray like we've never prayed. Believe like we've never believed. Have revival like we've never seen. I don't know what God has in store for our building, and I'm really not worried about that right now. Most of you already know that we lost the property. I don't know what's going to happen with that property. I heard a rumor, Starbucks. Ellettsville needs us there more than Starbucks. Anyway. But who knows? Starbucks don't need 17 acres. Come on, somebody. You get what I'm saying. So God knows what he's doing. But I do know this. The vision we had, Brother Gunderman, the Lord spoke to me and said, your vision was too small. It's not big enough. So I'm telling you that God is going to do a greater thing, a bigger thing. Don't you lose sight of the vision. Come on, our vision is 20% of this community. And God's going to do it. God's going to do it. And we're going to be used by the Lord in these last days. Amen. Hallelujah. We're thankful today we started back our Sunday school classes, and that's exciting. Remember that the way we're doing this is the morning service is for the children, then the afternoon service is for the youth and the hyphen group. So if you're here on the morning and you have children, they'll go to Sunday school that day if you so choose to send them. If they are here in the afternoon, so every other week your child will be in here, and then the next week they'll be out in their class. So that's Oh, I'm sorry. I keep saying that, don't I? I apologize. Hyphen, they're doing a Wednesday night meeting, so they're in here on Sundays. My apologies. I forgot we talked about that. So youth is on the afternoons. Hyphen is on Wednesday nights, and they're doing their own thing on Wednesday night. God bless them. That's a wonderful. It's good to start getting back to some form of what we consider normalcy. But I'm telling you, we're coming back stronger than normal. Amen. God is doing some wonderful things. God bless you for being here today. Y'all look great. You sound great. We love you so much. And we say God bless you. Brother, were we going to do that this week, or did we say next week? Next week, we're going to talk a little bit about missions, and Brother is going to bring us up to speed on, Brother Bryce is going to bring us up to speed on some things that are going on in the missions department. God bless you for being here today. Brother Bryce, you want to lead us out today? You're dismissed in this section in Jesus' name. Brother and Sister Honeycutt, you did a good job today. Good job, yes. Amen. I think you got a new role, a new job. Praise the Lord. I think it was more her than him. Yes. Get with the pastor or you will deal with Sister Honeycutt in this section. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Pray, continue to pray for Brother Kelly, who is recovering from COVID. Brother Kelly, the pastor's in Whitehall. He's actually back on his feet, doing pretty well. But pray for his church. There are several in his church that are getting over COVID, and some of them, Brother Justin Honeycutt's mama is one of them that needs a touch from the Lord right now. And so we don't need our churches dealing with this stuff. That church needs to be having church and having revival. Pray for Whitehall. This section here, praise the Lord. God bless you.